So this is the part where normally I would say, go ahead and open up your Bibles to this book and this chapter. And today the message is a little bit different. We're going to be kind of all over the place. So I don't have a specific text for you to flip to. If you want, maybe you could open up to Luke chapter 10. That'll be the first text we'll end up looking at and probably the most important for today. I remember when I was growing up, there was a noticing the way grown-ups would interact when they would meet each other. I've noticed there was this standard conversation that would always happen. The grown-ups would see each other, they'd shake hands or something. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. And the same conversation was repeated over and over and over and over. I mean, seemed strange to me as a kid. Why have this meaningless little conversation? But then at some point, the words changed. It was a small change, but it was a change. Because now we go, when we greet each other and we say, hi, how are you? The answer isn't fine anymore, is it? What's the answer? I'm busy. I'm so busy. How are you? I'm busy too. Our little greeting became a chance to tell each other how busy we are. Sometimes maybe it's a cry for help. Sometimes maybe it's looking for sympathy. Every now and then, it might even be a little bit of bragging, right? Oh, you think you're busy? You don't have any idea what busy is. Let me tell you about my busy. This is an epidemic in America. And so we think about this, and then we read our Bibles, and we find all these texts talking about how God gives his people rest. And we think, wow, that sounds amazing. If only I had time to rest. For the last several years, each year we've had kind of a year-long emphasis in the church, a spiritual discipline that we've invited everybody to be a part of, to participate in. In 2017, we had a scripture reading emphasis. In 2018, scripture memorization. Last year, the emphasis was prayer. This year, I'm asking us to look at this as a year of rest. Our emphasis this year is going to be rest. We'll talk about it multiple times in messages this year. And my hope is that as a church, we can really look at how we can embrace this. God's word has a lot to say about our attitudes towards rest. And we're going to try to just get a lay of the land today. Now, it's worth reminding ourselves before we start. In almost every teaching in the Bible, there always seem to be two ditches we can fall into. All right? We can be so committed to being busy that we miss God's offer of rest. But we can also be so committed to rest that we miss God's call to action. So today we're going to look at a variety of texts and try to see if we can find that biblical sweet spot. Now, we start off by looking at our sinful resistance to rest. Now, for many of us, we hear a call to rest, and it actually feels like a new burden being placed on our shoulders. This is just another thing to do, right? Oh, thanks a lot, Pastor. I already panic every time I go to the bathroom because that's 2 minutes I didn't have planned in my day. And now you're telling me I need rest. I can hardly breathe and you're adding to my schedule. Well, if you're feeling that way, let me assure you that's not what I'm doing. But let's look at why our hearts react that way. First of all, Jesus says, rest is better than busy. We look at our schedules and we're overwhelmed with all of our obligations. We have our jobs. We have our families. Our kids have so many activities and they can't drive themselves, right? The house needs repair. The car needs an oil change. Somebody has to cook dinner. What about laundry and paying the bills, scrubbing the bathtub? And then there's all those other things we're supposed to be doing, like exercising and building relationships with our neighbors and reading our Bibles and praying or serving at church, right? Then Maine comes along and jumps a foot of snow on your driveway, and you keep hearing people reminding you, don't forget, you need 6 to 8 hours of sleep per night. Yeah, right. Our first text today doesn't actually contain the word rest. Doesn't show up in the whole thing. But I think it's probably the most important text for us to hear today. You know this story in Luke chapter 10. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, it's pretty easy to feel sympathy for Martha in this story. I mean, she's just had 13 grown men show up unannounced at her house for dinner, right? And so she's suddenly trying to put together this huge meal, and the only person who can help her is just hanging out with Jesus instead of helping with the preparations. And then Martha's the one that gets scolded? How is that fair? I mean, she is literally serving Jesus. Right? I don't think Jesus is criticizing Martha for serving, but he is challenging her assumptions a bit. Right? Is she trying to get her house hospital clean? Right? Is she trying to fix a big fancy dinner? Maybe Jesus is saying, I don't need a perfectly clean house, Martha. And frankly, I'm content with peanut butter and jelly. Mary just wants to listen to Jesus. He is what her heart needs. And Jesus says, I'm not going to take that from her. So many things fill our time. How much time do we have to quietly sit at Jesus' feet and listen? How many times a week do you open your Bibles? Right? When you do, is it just to pick out a quick verse and then run out the door? Or do you have time to actually think about it and to respond to it in prayer? Right? You love your kids. You love your grandkids. How often do you have time to pray for them? How much time do you have to quietly sit at Jesus' feet? Friends, hear your Lord. You are anxious and troubled about many things. He understands that. But one thing is necessary. The world will give you a million ways to fill your time. It might be Pinterest or Instagram or a cat video. It might be one of a million things. But what does it profit a man if he watches every game of the Celtics this season but loses his soul? All right, Jesus says rest is better than busy. Next, Jesus promises his disciples rest. Matthew 11, 28 to 29, one of my very most favorite texts in the Bible. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus makes this precious promise. Now, I think Jesus is talking mostly about the rest that comes from being right with God. The fact that we have peace with God. We no longer have to worry because we are connected to Jesus. Our souls can find rest, safe in the knowledge that all who trust in Jesus are secure in him. But could it be possible that Jesus is also offering the kind of rest that we're talking about today also? We are frantic to have it all, frantic to do it all. We want to make sure our kids are doing all of the activities they want to be in. We set our DVRs to record all of our favorite shows to make sure we don't miss anything. We see a pretty day outside and we worry about wasting it. Our culture challenges us to strive to make sure we have the best car, the best house, take the best vacation, have the best phone. And Jesus says you can find peace in him even without those things. You will have eternal life with him. And eternity is a really long time. You don't have to worry about what you're missing out on today. Jesus says you will inherit the whole world, so you can have peace without obsessing about having stuff. In Christ, you are already the beloved child of God, adopted into his family as a true son or true daughter through faith in Jesus. If you're precious in the eyes of God, who cares whether you are the envy of the world? Right? Friends, you can quit the rat race. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. In Jesus, you can find rest. Rest for your soul and rest from the nonstop expectations that the American marketing machine says you simply must have. Jesus promises his disciples rest. We flip over into Mark chapter 6, and we see Jesus even gives rest from service. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to rest. Jesus doesn't just promise his disciples rest. He actually gives it to them in the gospel. In Mark 6, Jesus sends out his disciples two by two. It's their first time actually doing ministry themselves. And eventually they come back to Jesus and tell him all they did. And what is Jesus' reaction? He takes them away for some rest. Now, on this particular occasion, there's a crowd waiting for them, and Jesus ends up feeding the 5,000. But the point here remains, Jesus does not look at you like an appliance. What do I mean by that? When you think about an appliance, like, say, your refrigerator, how often do you give it rest? When's the last time you walked into your kitchen and looked at the fridge and said, "Oh, you poor thing. You must be so tired from keeping our food cold. You haven't had a break in years." Anybody ever have that conversation? Of course not. Because that's not how we think about appliances. Jesus does not look at you as an appliance. Jesus looks at you and understands that you need rest. You are not a machine. And Jesus doesn't expect you to be. You cannot go endlessly without a break. I'll tell you, this is a lesson that I'm personally learning the hard way these days. There is nobody in this room that needs to hear this message more than me. I promise you that. Friends, we are not made of iron. There's a legend of a fellow named John Henry. He was the strongest man working the railroad in the years after the Civil War. Anybody remember this story? They had to dig a tunnel. Well, the company went out and bought a machine to dig the tunnel and said it was faster than any man. Well, as the legend has it, John Henry took the challenge personally, said, "I can beat that machine," so the race was on. Sure enough, John Henry was faster than the machine. He took a sledgehammer in each hand, and he just went to the side of the mountain and started pounding and pounding and pounding. And at the end of the day, he had gone 14 feet, and the machine that was chipping away at the rock had only gone 9 feet. John Henry won. And then he died. He was absolutely exhausted and spent. He died exhausted with a sledgehammer in his hand. But you know what? The tunnel wasn't done. He pounded through 14 feet of rock and died. Is that what you want your legacy to be? You ran yourself absolutely ragged. You died with your planner in your hand. And life went on. The work wasn't done, but you're gone. Jesus has much for you to do in this world. But you are not a machine, and it does not glorify God to be the next John Henry. God has made you to need rest. The world tells you, press on. The world says you need it all. The world calls you to stay up all night on video games and banal television and YouTube videos that you won't even remember 10 minutes after you watch them. Jesus calls us to something better. He says, friends, the world is passing away. Let go of it. Give yourself permission to rest. Get out of the rat race and find your satisfaction in Jesus. He promises that you'll find he really is enough. He's enough that you really can rest. Now, there's I mentioned there are two ditches we can fall into. For one of us, the problem is being over busy. But there is a flip side of this. Our sinful indulgence of rest. We can embrace rest too much to the point where we do nothing. Just as Jesus doesn't want you to absolutely burn out, he's also not looking for a couch potato. Scripture has a couple of warnings here. First, in Mark chapter 14, we're going to say, beware of missing important moments. Mark 14, 41, Jesus is in the garden, right? It's the night Jesus was betrayed. He's been in the garden praying, sweating blood. He asked his disciples to stay awake, to stay alert and pray. Each time he comes to them and he finds them sleeping. So then in Mark 14, 41, then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners." He comes to them the third time. He's saddened to find them resting. This is a crucial hour. As it turns out, every one of them is only minutes away from abandoning Jesus. He's asked them to pray. He's asked them over and over to pray. And they all fell asleep. Okay, but wait a minute. We were just talking about how we need rest, right? Jesus wants his followers to rest. And here they are resting, right? The problem is, it's the wrong time. He's given them specific instructions. This is a moment where they're supposed to be alert and praying, and here they are asleep. Now, we can easily fall into this as a reaction against the American obsession with busy. We had We have an opportunity to do something for God, and we think, no, I'm not going to agree to that. I need my rest. Or instead, maybe we decide the best way to obey the call to rest is to sleep in. But we sleep so late that we don't have time to read our Bibles or pray, right? We need to keep our eyes open for the moments that God has things for us to do. Sometimes that's just a regular appointment with Him in the morning, with the Bible and a cup of coffee. Sometimes it's a phone call from somebody that really needs your help. It's the opportunity for you to be the hands and feet of Christ. We want to rest, but not for the sake of rest itself. We want to rest so that we will be prepared to serve. Now, I'll tell you the way I usually end up in this situation. It usually happens because I've had a lousy night of sleep. I frequently don't sleep well. It happens a lot, where I'll toss in the bed till 2, 3, 4 a.m. And so eventually Kim comes along and wakes me up and says, hey, it's time to jump out of bed and get to work. And the number one casualty in this is my time with the Lord. When I'm lying in bed, unable to sleep, I frequently pray about this. Lord, please let me sleep, or I won't be able to meet you in your word in the morning. And sometimes He answers that prayer, and sometimes He doesn't. But, you know, other times I find I'm just cranky about it, right? God will put an opportunity right in front of me, and it's clear what I need to do. And I'll have this little argument with myself. It goes something like this. Oh, don't do that right now. You're so tired. Go get some rest, and maybe you can do it later. When God has something for us to do, it's rare that He gives us a second chance at it. Right? Sometimes God really has things for us to do, and we just sinfully disobey, like the disciples falling asleep in the garden. So how do we know which it is? Right? Should I be embracing my need to rest, or should I be stepping out and serving? Well, there's an element of wisdom here. But I can tell you this. Any time that I'm just sinfully seeking rest instead of obeying the King's call, I know it pretty much right away. Right? You don't grieve the Holy Spirit and not have some clue that it's happening. All right. Beware of missing important moments. Next, beware of squandering your blessing. Here's another aspect of this. Jesus told the story of a man who had a windfall of blessing. He was trying to think of what to do with all of his new wealth that's just suddenly just come his way. And he had this idea, I'll just go out and replace my barns with bigger barns. And then he concludes, and I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. And God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? Now, Jesus' primary teaching here is the danger of hoarding wealth. But look at the rich man's attitude. Hey, I can just kick it back and take it easy. I can live large and get all the rest I've ever wanted. If God has blessed you with time, if He's given you a season without a lot of obligation, there is a test here to see how you'll use that time. It's fine to take some of that time to rest, but there is a very real risk of squandering it. How quickly a little distraction balloons into hours lost. How easily we can decide just to settle in for a good stretch of me time, and we never even think about how we could use that time for the Lord. If you're wondering how you can serve God, I would be glad to meet with you and talk with you about it. Nobody is too young or too old to be a blessing to God. If you have a willing heart, there is much that you can do to serve God. Many Christians Hope someday to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Do you have, as much as we love that text, do you have an equal dread of this text that someday when you have to give an account of how you use the blessings God gave you, which might include the blessings of time free from obligations, his evaluation is full? How dreadful that would be. Let's try to think of this for a minute. Imagine a fire truck gets the call to a fire, all right? And they ride to the building, and it's ablaze. And most of the firefighters get out and get to work, but two of them don't. One of them is really tired. I mean, he's really tired. He's been thinking about the need for more rest. He looks at the fire, but he decides, you know what? I'll sit this one out. He pulls his helmet down over his face and nods off napping. In the seat next to him, the other firefighter is staring at his phone. Obviously, the fire is important, and he'll get there, but this video that he's watching is really funny, and it'll just be a couple of minutes. Just a couple of minutes, okay? What would you think of those firefighters? Now, as I said, I think for most of us in America, the problem is with being too busy. But let me ask you this. Gently, but let's think about this. Are you so busy because you're squandering your free time? Are you so busy because when you have a little bit of time, you waste it? I'm not here as your judge. You know your schedule. You know your habits. You know what you spend time on. How much is wasted on things that have no eternal value whatsoever? Well, we're just about done. I want to round this out just a little bit. The blessings and opportunities to rest. First of all, a reminder that salvation is secured by Jesus' finished work. It's not unusual in various streams of Christianity to tell you that your salvation is to some extent dependent on your works. If you're too busy with other things, you're jeopardizing your soul because you don't have a chance to earn heaven. Friends, let me say this absolutely clearly. You will never earn heaven. You will never earn heaven. You don't deserve it. And frankly, you will never deserve it. I don't care how many New Year's resolutions you make. This world only cares about how much work you can do for it. That's not how salvation works. I'm not saying work has nothing to do with salvation. In fact, work has everything to do with salvation, but it's not our work. It's the finished work of Jesus. He took all of the sin of each of his people to the cross, and in exchange, he gives us his record of perfect obedience. We give him a dump truck of manure, and he gives us a cargo ship of diamonds. Right? Our part in that is to repent of our sin and to turn away from the wrong we do and turn to him. We believe that what he's done is enough. So then we come and we listen to him to learn what a life that's pleasing to God looks like. And that includes listening to him tell us how to wisely use our time. Next, how we use our time exposes our heart. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say that if you want to know what's important to a person, look at their calendar and their checkbook. Of course, who uses calendars or checkbooks anymore, right? But you understand the point. The truth is, we make time for the things that are important to us. If you have a job, you make it a point of being at work when you're expected to be there. If you're interested in watching the Super Bowl, you will find a way to be near a TV at 6:30 next Sunday, right? So God says you are too busy. If God says you're too busy, if God's word says you need rest, you have to decide how important it is to actually obey. When you start removing things from your calendar and start making time for rest, you are showing that you believe that He's made you to be a person who cannot do it all. You are showing that in your heart you believe Jesus' promises, that you aren't really missing out. You're showing that you believe that Jesus knows more about what your heart needs than the American marketing industry does. And that leads us finally to resting to share Jesus. Right when I opened, I pointed out how we answer, "How are you?" The answer is almost always, "I'm busy." Imagine the opportunity you have here. Just dream with me for a minute here. You embrace God's call to rest. And then the conversation happens again. "Hey, how are you?" "I'm busy." "How are you?" "Well, you know, I was really busy also for a long time. Being busy used to totally consume me. Like somehow I was winning the gold medal in the busy Olympics. But then I realized that because of Jesus, I don't have to be in that race. I could rest, and it's better. I'm happier. I'm more focused. I feel like I'm finally living." Can you imagine the opportunities that could come from that conversation? When does somebody ever answer a question that way? If you can testify of the goodness of rest, that's something that will shock people. That is something that is about as opposite the current American system as anything we can imagine. I want to wrap this up with one quick note. Sometimes your season really is busy. Sometimes our lives just are busy for a season. Okay? Go tell the mother of a newborn child that she needs rest. That's just cruel, right? Go tell an accountant at the peak of tax season he needs rest. It's not reasonable. Sometimes you really are just in a busy season. And that's okay. God understands that. The big question in trying to look at it is, am I going to make excuses for myself and say, "Well, I guess I'm just in a busy season, so I don't have to listen to this"? Can you see a natural reason why this season will end? Like your baby's eventually going to start sleeping through the night, or April 15th will come and go. If you're in a busy season, you'll just have to grab the moments of rest when you can get them. But there's a difference between a busy season and what most of us struggle with, which is a permanently busy lifestyle. And that's what we're talking about today. Friends, God has created us as limited creatures who need rest. Show Him you trust Him by embracing that call to rest. Will you pray with me? Lord, how many times do I stand up and proclaim a message and feel like I must be the biggest hypocrite because of how poorly I live your truth? Lord, nobody in this room needs to hear this call to rest more than me. Lord, please help us all to look at the way we use our time, to look at the things that we do, the ways we waste the moments that we have, the ways that we the ways that we ignore your call to serve, or that we're so busy we don't have time for anything. Lord, save us. Save us from following the road of John Henry. May we embrace a biblical call to rest and a biblical call to serve. Holy Spirit, please help us to think clearly about our schedules, about our time, and to organize our lives in ways that make us more useful as servants in your house. You are God. You know what we need, and you know what you've called us to. Please help us to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.